Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
The following program is rated TV MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Everybody.
Hey.
Talk scary to me.
I'm Scout.
Hi, Scout.
Hi, Danielle.
I'm Danielle. Welcome to Talk Scary to Me.
Oh, you look so good over there. You look yummy.
I do.
Damn, yeah. You're giving me like Halloween set vibes right now.
What? Why? What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm having fucking flashbacks right now of being on set with you.
Is it because I'm wearing like a white shirt or something? I don't usually wear white, so I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's, do I look smart because I have glasses on or
maybe
something?
Maybe that's it.
Okay.
Maybe it's the white, like, V-neck, pump it. And are you wearing, like, a push-up bra right now?
No, I'm wearing a sports bra.
Are your boobies extra big right now?
Well, you know, so I'm getting my boobs done. I'll just put it out there.
Wait, whoa.
Yes, I am buying myself some boobs, Scout.
Fuck yeah. I might roll
tiny,
that train.
Just a little. I've nursed two babies. They're a little bit, you know, I want to fill out the top a little bit more. Very small.
Damn.
But once I like gave the deposit, my boobs started growing.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I swear to God. I've been like looking in the mirror going, my boobs are growing.
Yeah, your boobs are extra large.
Yeah.
Right now.
Okay, yeah. I don't know why. I just made the deposit.
Are you guys boning a lot? That's what happens to me when I have a lot of sex with my guy. My body's just like
no. I am premenopause, Scout, so I'm on testosterone. So and progesterone. So that's why.
Shit, that's
changing.
Why your boobies are changing.
Yes,
yeah.
But I am wanting to fuck a lot more.
Are you really?
Yeah. I mean, I always
yeah,
want
you're,
to.
You're
but,
like a beast over there.
Well,
I don't know.
My husband would beg to differ with you, but but no, it's been good. It's been really good. Yeah. I mean, my testosterone was zero.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Like, no wonder I'm so fucking tired all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus, that was just because I had two kids that don't sleep.
So does your husband want to bang more than you?
Oh, well, always.
Always.
I mean, are you kidding?
Okay.
He sent me some funny meme yesterday that was like, oh God, it was something on, I don't even know if I could find it now. It was like, hey babe, can you watch the kids while I go get a facial? And then the husband responds back, I can give you a facial.
Oh yeah.
Like that's the story
of my
life.
The good old jerk on the face facial. I love that. I love it.
My husband responds naughty every single time. It's like never ending.
Damn, you guys do have that. In my household, it's the opposite.
What do you mean? You put it out there and he just...
I think I'm the hungry. Well, I'm also, my guy's older.
Right.
He's 10 years older
right.
than me. So I feel like that might be, and I'm in my 30s. So my 30s,
yeah.
like prime right now.
Well,
is like,
I'm 9 years older than my husband.
Yeah.
He's in his prime, but I think he'll always be, you know, he's a dude. He'll always be in it. But he still gets like scared to ask me and stuff.
Does he?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, explain that. Because
like, he waits for me to give the cue.
Oh, okay. Mine does too. Mine
like,
is too.
Just, but I don't want to have to.
I don't
want
to have to. Men, we don't want to have to give you the fucking sign.
No, just pull my pants down and put my head through
it's
the
like
wall.
It's becoming a pet peeve for mine because it seems to be like that in every relationship that I get into. It's like I don't know. I would love if you
just
fucking
do it.
Yeah, just pull down
just
my pants.
Fucking do it.
Pull down my pants.
Yeah.
Pull down.
The hottest
Take
thing
out
ever.
Your dick. Take out your dick. Whatever. Just do something. Give me the sign, man. I don't want to have to push my butt towards your junk to like get you to like want to mount me, man.
Be like, so, babe. Yeah, my husband like gets all showered and clean and like lays on the bed all like, so, like, you know.
So what do you want to
do,
man? Do
you want to watch Housewives or? I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, I love that. Well, congratulations on the boobies.
Thanks.
I know I'll be around you once you have the recovery and I'm going to be taking notes because I kind of want to do that.
My boobs were so great when I was nursing. Like they, after I had my kids, I was like, this is like finally what I was like, wow. This is really lovely. So, you know, we'll see. I hope I like them.
Yeah. Well, I like your boobs. I've seen
Thanks.
Your boobs.
Thanks.
I've seen your boobs. They're great. They're
Thanks.
Great boobies.
Just
I'm very proud of you.
Just a little, you know. So let's talk about sex, baby.
Let's talk about sex. Okay.
Do you have sex dreams?
Yeah.
Is it with your person? Or are they just about, like, I only once in a while if I have one, it's with, like, about, I mean, it's always, like, random stuff.
Ooh.
Okay, never mind. Don't answer
no,
that.
No, 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 no. I'll fucking answer it. You know, I've had a couple about like an ex.
Mm-hmm.
Not recently, but in the past. Definitely with one particular ex, which I think like was the one that I thought I was going to end up being with. Mm. So I'll often have dreams.
Right.
And that sex of was that so one. Good.
Right.
But it was so wrong in so many ways. So I often do. But I will have sex dreams of my partner as well.
Yeah.
But normally I don't see the faces.
Mm-hmm, right. But you know who they are though, right?
Yeah. Is that happened to you? Like I don't see a face.
I don't know. Sometimes I guess.
What was the last sex dream that you had you remember?
I don't remember. But it happens often.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I can have orgasms in my sleep. You get off in your sleep too, right?
No.
You've never had an orgasm in your sleep?
No.
Really?
Dude, I it takes me a lot. It takes me a lot too.
But for some reason, I wonder why in real life it doesn't. It takes longer and harder to focus. But in my dream, it's like no problem.
But I'll definitely wake up like, yeah, wet. Of course, I'll like wake up, but not like.
But I wonder, like, no one's touching me, and I'm sleeping. How am I getting off,
dude? Well, there's this woman. Ah, fuck! I wish I knew her name. The next podcast, I'll find her information. She does these seminars where you won't touch yourself, but she'll guide you through this like emotional experience where you'll leave with an orgasm.
We should take her class.
We should take her class. Wouldn't it be weird if you and I take a class like that?
Yes.
See, I'm all for it, but you're fucking with me right now. I don't want to do that alone. I'd rather do it with someone I'm comfortable
really?
With.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I'd rather be in there by myself.
Really?
Yes.
What? Yes. Well, coming from the woman that teaches pole dancing classes?
Well, you know, there was a woman that I remember I was referred to by my therapist that, that would come to your house. There are people that come to your house with you and your partner.
Oh, I need, really?
Yeah, that like, help you, guide you through like all kinds of stuff.
That's a little weird. Isn't that like a threesome?
I think there's
isn't
a name.
That just a fucking threesome?
No, I think there's a name for those people. It's like an actual
okay, but does this
coach.
Woman look like an old like
yeah, they're like
a witch?
Well,
like
I know there's some. There was one that actually had a couple of names. I'll have to go back and look them up. But there's a name for what this is.
Okay, well, Danielle, coming from when we agreed that we wouldn't allow someone into the bedroom with our partners, I don't know if you would be okay with
not,
this.
I mean, if they're just like,
but what if
back,
this fucking woman was gorgeous, drop dead gorgeous, and she showed up in like a little like. Silk red dress and was like, hi, I'm here to teach you about sex. And
well, I don't, but I'm like,
let me
whatever.
Get out my pencil and pen and watch
you.
You
never had sex with your dude while porn's on?
Yeah, we've talked about this.
Yeah,
yes.
So,
yes.
But so it's the same thing. Like, he's watching somebody else while he's with you. I mean, don't you think that like maybe it's popping into his.
You just gave me a movie
brain?
Idea. How fucking funny would that be if like the porn characters became alive, like Weird Science and came out of the fucking TV? We're like, hi, I'm, what's a porn name?
Chastity.
Hi, I'm Chastity.
I'm Chastity Rose. Wait, I have a good one.
Yes.
Desiree Starr.
Desiree Starr.
For those of you that don't know, that's Scout's real name.
Hey guys.
I'm Desiree. Welcome to the stage.
Wait, you ready? You ready? Hi. Hi, my name is Desiree Starr.
That's why it was changed, guys. All right, let's go to our sex
question. Let me hear a question.
So this came to my lovely Instagram inbox, and it just literally in all caps said, sex has stopped, !! First, Josie T, this is from Josie T. She says, Scout and Danielle, you make me laugh so much.
Oh, I love you, Josie.
Dude, thank you, Josie. I know, we're just having a good old fucking jolly time over here. Okay, so we've been married, her and her husband, I'm assuming. We've been married for a couple years now, and I've noticed our intimacy has died down. Mm-hmm. I've tried everything, but it hasn't seemed to help. Do I snoop around and see if he is having an affair? I mean, there has been no other reasons, no red flags in the past. What do you girls think is going down?
Don't snoop unless you want to find something.
Don't listen to her. Snoop.
No, don't
snoop.
When you look, don't you snoop. Will always find, and it may not be what you think it is, and then you'll never be able to get it out of your mind, and then it will totally ruin your fucking relationship.
Dude,
so.
Dude, do not Snoop. I try to stay off of my dude's cell phone, even if he like wants me to check out a message, because I will find anything that just makes me like, well, what's that?
Right.
What is that?
Right.
I think I told my dude the other day, I was like, I just don't want to get near your phone. I just don't want to get near it.
Really?
Yeah, but I think it's just like it's your shit. Yeah, it's my shit. It's my shit, yeah. Like projecting.
Right.
But I don't think snooping is good.
No.
It's not healthy. It's going to lead to other fucking problems.
How about you have a real adult conversation? With your husband.
Danielle, we don't do that.
Why? Well, it's true.
People
we don't.
Don't do
that. No, yeah. I don't do that either. Practice what I preach.
Yeah, exactly.
Geez, you know, maybe he's just going through a fucking hard time. Like, do you guys connect and have a conversation and talk about what's happening in life?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but it sounds like you guys maybe need to maybe go seek some counseling and figure out what's really going on down there.
Yeah,
literally.
That's what I was going to say. My guy, I love my guy. He doesn't open up as well as I do. I'm a fucking open book.
Well,
I'm like
you're
you.
A woman.
I'm like you. Yes.
I mean, you
so
know.
He's, and I think men have problems like talking about, you know, like, you know, I think there's like a general thing with a man, like masculinity. It's like, you know.
It's hard to say, like, be vulnerable maybe.
Yeah, it's hard for men to be vulnerable. I mean, maybe he's just in a dark place right now, or he's having self-conscious things with himself.
Maybe it's hard for him to get it up, or
maybe
he's going to get off too quick and he's insecure about it. Or, I mean, there could be lots of things going on. Don't automatically go to that he's cheating.
Yeah.
That's probably not what's going on. Or it is. And you know, maybe you'll figure it out one day. You'll find out.
Yeah. If you just ask.
Just ask.
Hopefully, Josie, just it's ask. Not that he's cheating and he's just going through something and
yeah,
that
he'll bring you guys closer.
Yeah. And now that he knows that you're there for him, maybe he'll actually open up and this will like branch out a whole different thing in your guys' relationship. And
you should
totally
get him in the car and play our podcast this episode and see if he catches on. Could you imagine?
Oh my God. Yes.
There's a good conversation starter.
So has your dude listened to our podcast?
I hope not.
You're going to make me spit out my water.
I sure as shit hope not, Scout. He's been a little bit weird, but he's always a little bit weird. But I wonder sometimes. I was like,
oh, you know he listens.
Probably.
I know your husband listens. I know it. I get that feeling. Tom, he don't listen. He listens to me. He's like, I was like, you don't want to listen to it. Trust me, you don't want to listen to this.
I hope David's not listening to it. I really do.
Yeah?
I mean,
what do you think why do you feel like that? I'm just wondering, because I say the same thing. So I wonder, what is it that we're, is it because we're bringing up past things?
Yeah, past sexual things really is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to know, like, I went and fucked this guy's best friend in his room. Like, he doesn't know. And they're actors.
I want to know.
So, well, I know.
I want to know all the details.
See, for me, I want to know all the details. Yeah. I like talking about these stories. I'm happily married and faithful to my husband. Who gives a shit what I did before
I enjoy
I was married?
I enjoy hearing my girlfriend's like, how big was it? Well, what happened?
Yeah.
What did your vagina do?
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
Yeah. I'll tell you all care about that, about how big that one was.
Okay, so let's segue into a deeper thing here. Danielle. What was your biggest fear as a child?
My mom dying.
Oh, fuck me, man. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry, just take it down. If I had the button, it'd be like... Wah, wah,
you were just afraid of your mom dying all the time?
Yeah, my dad died when I was 7.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
So it was always like, my mom's going to die, my mom's going to die, my mom's going to die. You know, I mean, even now it's a fear of mine. Even now it was always like, anytime they'd go out to dinner, my mom and stepdad or my mom, even now, if my mom doesn't answer her phone, I automatically think my mom's dead.
Really?
Yeah. And David, like when David, because, you know, my dad died in a car accident. So when David is like out, you know, maybe he's having dinner with friends or something and he's on his way back home. I don't care how long he's out. He could be out at a strip club for all I care till 2 a.m. But I want to know when you get in your car, how long it's going to take you to get home. So if your average route time is like 30 minutes and you let me know you're on your way and it's been 45 minutes, I'm calling you. I'm just, even if I'm passed out, I'm waking up wondering if you're dead on the side of the road.
Damn, your kids are going to love you when they get older.
Oh my God.
They're going to love you.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
At your curfew?
Yeah.
Where's your phone? It's not on. Why are you not answering?
Well, I'll be driving them everywhere. So it doesn't really matter.
Don't worry, Auntie Scout Carter, I'm going to rescue you.
You know, and that could be one of my biggest fears now as an adult is my kids choking to death.
Holy shit.
Or something happening, like if when they're sick, I like when they have fevers and stuff. Yeah. Because when I was young, when I, my goddaughter, when she was like 3 or 4, her thermometer was broken and she was homesick from school. And she ended up having, kids can have seizures from having high fevers. And she had a full blown seizure and went to the emergency room. And I just remember going in there and she couldn't talk and her eyes were rolling back in her head. And she was, we didn't know she was ever going to come to from having a fucking fever. So wow. I'm always, I have these little things, these monitors that my kids wear on their body.
Do you really?
I do. When they sleep, if they if they're sick.
Oh my
and
goodness.
It measures and it alerts my phone if their temperature gets over like 101.5, it'll wake me up. And uh-huh. But I sleep next to them and I'm touching them anyway because I'm so afraid something is going to happen.
Wow. Fucking power mom over there.
Dude.
You're going to teach me a lot of things when I have a kid. Oh my God. I didn't even know that. That is crazy. That is terrifying.
Just, you know, I did this podcast yesterday with a mutual friend of ours.
Yes.
And she lost her dad too at a young mm-hmm. age. So we were talking a lot about like how that affected our lives and picking mm-hmm. men and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And also suicide's been a really big part of my life too, unfortunately. So mm-hmm. that's also another thing of like wondering, you know, mental health and people
yeah.
going through stuff, even fans that will write me, you know, on Patreon or on Instagram and say like, I'm really in a dark place right now.
Yeah, what do you do with that? Because I get a lot of people write me about that.
I have to write them
back.
I have to.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, maybe they just need someone to say like, it's going to be okay. I mean, someone messaged me last night saying like, I'm in a really good place. I just moved into a new house and I'm out of the darkness. And I was like, yay, I'm so happy for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because maybe they'll listen.
Yeah.
Maybe they just need somebody. If you're that person, God forbid, you know. But there's definitely been a few that have said stuff and then I haven't heard from them in a little while and I get nervous.
You get
like,
nervous.
God forbid they did something. So that's always a bit of a button for me for sure.
Yeah, I bet. I
mean, what about you?
Biggest fear. I mean, I think mine was like a, you know, abandonment issues that everybody's going to leave me. I guess it's like the
yeah,
you
same
know,
thing.
It's the same thing. I mean, my mom had like drug abuse and stuff like that. And I was taken from her a little young and I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
You know, at that age. And I lived with my dad and I never grew up with my mom. And I kind of like had this really like dark cloud over who my mom was mm-hmm. because of what happened. Because I was sexually abused as a kid and when I was in her custody. So there was a lot of resentment going against her. And she actually passed away last year.
Right, I remember.
So I didn't ever like really bring up these issues that I had when I was in her care.
Yeah.
And I forgave her a long time ago, but you know, I still wanted to know certain things because for some reason, like when I was going into therapy a couple years back, I block out. I have a tendency to block out a
it's
lot.
It's called trauma.
Yeah, trauma.
Trauma.
Can you spell that? Can you use that in a sentence?
Trauma.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff has been coming back when I've gotten older.
I always wonder like how the brain works. The brain's so fucking miraculous. Like,
it's so cool.
I mean, I remember I was like maybe 10 years ago and I was back where I grew up. I grew up in Florida for a little bit when my mom had agoraphobia and we had to like move from New York when I was a kid, like to my grandma's for fourth grade because she wouldn't come out of the house. And it was like a whole thing. And I went to school there. And, but anyway, so I went back and visited my grandparents and friends there often. And not too long ago, maybe about a decade ago, I had this vivid memory of the gym teacher when I was in like kindergarten or first grade, taking me into the equipment room and making me and like the 3 or 4 other girls that were there pull our pants down. And
are you
would,
fucking kidding me?
No, he
See,
would spank us with a paddle that had holes in it. I've never seen one of those in real life.
Did you tell your parents?
I told my friend who was a teacher there. And I mean, this is, you know, obviously years later, my girlfriend who went to school with me is now a teacher at this school. And she didn't know anything about it, but was really interested in that this had gone on and mm-hmm. happened to me. But I didn't know about it. I didn't remember it. Then you think like, am I making this up
yeah,
right now?
Yeah, that's what you think. So I do this weird thing where I'll count like fans, like every once in a while. I haven't done it for a very, very long time. But that was one thing that my therapist and I discovered, that a lot of these incidents would happen for my sister's boyfriends when they were like high on drugs or whatever. Mm. And my mom was passed out. I would be laying on a bed and I'd be focused on the fan when all these incidents would happen.
Getting rid of your body.
I don't know how many, but I knew it came to a point that I realized something that I could distract myself from.
Right.
You know, that's one too many times, you know, for that to happen to a young child.
But one time is too many times.
Yes. But it's just so, yes, exactly. It's just so crazy to like think about how your brain works to, like, I guess, keep you safe. Like, someone going through what I have experienced, we could not be who we are. We could have gone a different path.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think we're pretty fucking solid human beings gone through those things.
Thanks, yeah, I think so too. You know? I think we're pretty great.
But I just...
No, it's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Listen, but it's working on yourself too.
Yes.
Therapy, you know, I've been going for 14 years twice a week. So it's psychotherapy, a Jungian analyst. And like, I have to. Yeah. It's the way that I stay alive, essentially. But I think it really messes with your brain. I remember in the beginning we were talking about suicide and deaths and sort of how the brain works and saying to my therapist something like, the craziest shit happens to me. Like, how does this shit happen to me all the time? Like, this is stories that I only read about. Like, this can't be happening and be in my life, you know? And she was like, yeah, but look at your life. Like, look at what you do.
I know, it's true. It is very true. It is very, why is that easy for us? Why is traumatic, screaming easy for us? I wonder.
You're like, she was like, you're in horror movies, running from killers as a child. Like, look at the accessibility you have. Like,
and that's so easy for us to get into, too.
So easy.
It's so easy for us.
I could literally cry right now.
Being in comedies and funny, that shit's hard for me.
Yeah, but you know what? You're you're so funny. So, you know, you're like,
I'm awkward. Like, I'm like, what do you mean? Funny.
But it's anyway.
Yeah.
So talking about, do you have any other questions? Any other fun?
No. Let's get into the horror portion, which we are going to continue down this.
God, should I go real life?
True crime
or should
stuff.
I go true crime?
Whatever,
true crime.
Whatever your little heart, you know?
My heart. Well, you know, so I was telling in the last episode, you were talking about Johnny Lewis, and I was talking about how I did this E! Show, and we uncovered, you know, we were going over a lot of different cases, and one that I did not know about is something that happened to Ashton Kutcher.
Mm.
So I'll read a little bit of
this.
Please do. It's called The Hollywood Ripper. Again, the city of death. Michael Gargiulo, I think that's how you say his last name. Scary motherfucker. He's still alive. Okay, so this is in USA Today. So this guy, it says, for crimes he called vicious and frightening, a judge on Friday. Well, this is a while ago, actually. Hold on, let me see. Oh, God, he's so creepy, you guys.
Are you looking?
I'm looking at his
picture.
I'm
so far away from you.
So this guy was found guilty in 2001 of murdering this poor girl named Ashley Ellerin. She was 22 years old. She was a fashion student in her Hollywood home, and she prepared to go out on a date with Ashton.
Crazy.
Yeah. So at the trial, Kutcher had to get on the stand and talk about it. And he said that he was late to pick her up. And he went and knocked on her door, and she didn't answer the door. So maybe he thought he was just like getting stood up or something. Anyway, he looked inside to see blood stains that he thought were spilled wine. Prosecutors used him in their closing argument, suggesting Ellerin was killed by another man who was jealous of Kutcher. Ellerin was found with 47 stab wounds.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's someone that wants you dead. That
her
is
father,
crazy.
Michael Ellerin, who had been visiting his daughter from Northern California hours before she was killed, was one of several victims' relatives who spoke at the hearing of their suffering as they waited for years of justice. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, wow, it says he said he was tempted to imitate his wife Cynthia's mournful scream and primal wailing after finding out that Ashley had been murdered. I don't know what the hell what's going on there. This guy was also convicted of murdering 32-year-old Maria Bruno, the mother of four, in her home in El Monte, East Los Angeles in 2005. Bruno's breasts were cut off and her implants were removed. Speaking of.
Holy shit.
He was found guilty of attempted murder in 2008 of Michelle Murphy, who fought him off in her Santa Monica apartment, forcing him to flee and leave a trail of blood that also led to his eventual arrests for two other killings. Murphy was the key witness at the trial. To this day, spending the night alone creates a world of fear in me, Murphy said in court before the sentencing. She cried as she talked about meeting the families of the two women who didn't survive their attacks. How is it fair that one person's actions can destroy the lives of so many?
Wow.
He's a former air conditioning and heater repairman, bouncer, and aspiring actor whose nicknames from media outlets included the Chiller Killer, the Hollywood Ripper, but was called the Boy Next Door Killer by prosecutors because he lived near the victims he stalked when he attacked their homes.
so crazy.
So he lived not too far. What do you mean? Is this
you?
Me?
No. Oh, see.
I was like, wait, what?
Some news anchor did this too. I'm like, no, I'm talking about the show You. And the news anchor goes, oh. You? I know me. What? No, you. It's kind of like he like lived close to them and he stalked them. And
Yeah. Thank God my stalkers don't live anywhere near me. Yeah, so I think the story went something like, because we went to her house and I interviewed her roommate for this E! Show that was the one that found her that morning.
Oh, my God.
So I think she was, like, in her bathrobe. Like, she
Wait, Ashton didn't call. He thought it was red wine, so he just left her, like, passed out.
He was getting stood up. No, he didn't see her.
Oh, he didn't see her. He just
red on the carpet.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And was like, oh, I mean, it looked like it was, like, red wine had spilled or something. Mm-hmm. So I guess she was, like, getting in the shower, gotten ready, had a bathrobe and her hair up and a thing, you know, washed her hair. And this guy, I mean, there was no forced. I think it was something like he'd left. Okay, let me take the story back.
Yes.
So they befriended each other.
Okay.
Ashley and this Hollywood Ripper befriended each other. He lived down the street. Like, there was a dog park. She'd take her dog. They would, like, go walking.
Classic.
And, you know,
classic.
And it was summertime and she had, you know, she'd invited him a couple times for, like, barbecues and stuff like that to the house and got a little bit of a weird vibe.
Okay.
And kind of stopped that friendship. But this had come after he had been in her house helping her fix her air conditioner. So he knew how to get into her house. So I don't know if he had set it up where he unjarred a door or saw a window or something before he came back to do it, or he just happened to do it. But she was getting ready to go on a date with him. And this guy came into her house and brutally murdered her. I don't know if it's because he was jealous of Ashton or, I mean, whatever. He was obviously had lots of women that he had murdered.
Yeah, so all the kills, there's no similar, they're all different.
They're all different women.
They're all women, yeah. But they're all of them are different.
They're brutal though.
But why that many stab wounds?
And you can see, from his apartment of where he lived, which is not far from where we are right now, by the way.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's off of Highland. It's like, yeah, it's not too far from, I mean, it's Hollywood,
yeah.
You know? But he was in, like, a high rise, kind of a shitty apartment, and he could sort of see, like, I mean, it's walking distance from her house.
Yeah.
So he's probably sitting there watching. And,
watching, yeah.
Yeah, everything that goes on.
Oh, man.
But I mean, because he was late, so I wonder how the guilt that Ashton might feel somewhat responsible or how many times he probably racked his brain thinking, like, what would have happened if he would have been in the house when this guy came in? Would he have died too? Would he have saved her if he had come a few minutes early? I mean, listen, I feel like this guy was going to get her.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, he was going to get her, so I don't think he could have done anything.
Yeah, he would have, I mean,
he would have been in the crossfire.
Yeah, he would have waited. He wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? He would have, I don't think, he would have waited for her to be alone. I mean, I don't think he would have done another night. He would have left. He would have hid. I don't think he would have. Sounds like he didn't have any, like, yeah, I'm, like, trying to, like, wrap my brain around this.
No,
guy.
It's interesting.
Like, I don't think that he would have, if Ashton was there, he wouldn't have done it that night.
No, he would have come back and gotten her alone.
Unfortunately.
He wanted to
it's
do
just,
it alone.
People are fucking sick, man. People are fucking
Do you
fucking
think maybe
sick.
He just felt like he was, like, getting pushed away, or maybe he showed interest in these women and they weren't
it
interested?
It has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be. Well,
I
don't
mean, he
know.
Cut her fucking implants out.
I don't know what this girl.
Of the other woman.
I don't know what this man looks like. What does he look like? Does
he's
he look like a
not,
charming actor guy? Like,
no.
That would get attention. So why do these women,
he,
like, I are you, do you become
Well, I don't
friends?
Know. This is old. This is a newer
oh, fuck
picture.
That.
I know.
What the hell?
He's scary, but he's in a mask and he's, I mean, oh, this is a long time ago.
Terrifying.
I don't know what he looked like back then. But I mean, listen, I would have gone out with Ted Bundy. Wouldn't you have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Charles Manson, probably.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that one, Scout, but you would have gone out with Charles Manson. You found him hot. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Let's not get on who I find hot and who I don't, okay?
What murderer?
We'll talk about his
would you
case
like
later
date?
On these episodes.
Oh. Yeah, this is not, but this goes back to what we were talking about with Johnny Lewis in you've got to trust your gut.
You have to trust your gut. You have to. You really do.
In many situations, you know, I guess I was on this podcast yesterday and we were talking about all kinds of horrible things. And suicide and you know, mental health played a big part in two of my best guy friends' passings. And both of those relationships I had at some point had to pull away from because mm-hmm. I just felt like something was telling me I shouldn't be around them anymore.
Yeah, I had that with my ex, my ex-fiancé actually.
Did he kill himself?
No, he didn't kill himself. He very close, very close too. But you have to let go sometimes. You know, there's nothing that you can do that can help someone sometimes. I mean, you can try as much as you can. You can give them advice to seek help or tell, like my exit was telling the family. I was like, you need to take care of him.
Right.
Like this is what's happening. He's keeping it from you. You need to
see, but I never knew. Like, so Jonathan Brandis was one of my very, very best friends and an actor. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's been gone a long time already. I was 26. So he hung himself and he was part of, I mean, I traveled across the world to be with this guy and we were just like friends. I mean, I set him up with his first girlfriend, Tatiana Ali, who was on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Mm-hmm. They went out for many years. They had like a crazy relationship and they had broken up and my ex Jeff became best friends with John. And, you know, we were just all like, there was like a group of four of us. It was like Scott Campbell, Jimmy DiBello, myself, Brandis, Jeff. I mean, it was like a little clique, you know, there was a little group of us that were just really kind of dark and fucked up and liked to like drink whiskey and play chess and paint and make short films. And like, I don't know, it was like we'd go over to Jonathan's house, who actually lived right down the street from Johnny Lewis.
Crazy.
Yeah, Los Feliz. And an old Spanish house. And we'd go and we would like be debaucherous together. And it felt really good because it was a safe place.
Yeah.
And then John went to do a movie in Prague called Heart's War. And he was going to be gone for like 6 months. And I suddenly started developing romantic feelings for him after being his friend for 10 years. And I was like, maybe I should just go. And my friend Natalia was like, go, Dan, go, go, go.
Yeah.
But John was like an interesting cat. Like he definitely had some bipolar things going on and he would like leave me insane messages on my voicemails, like rambling psychotic craziness for 10 minutes at a time. But he was so brilliant and so funny that you're like, I'm so drawn to that.
Yeah, you overlook. Yeah, trust me, artist, creative
types, you know, I was like, I have to, I just loved him and I got him where a lot of people just didn't understand. Mm-hmm. Some of my guy friends that wanted to beat the shit out of him. And I was like, no, you don't understand. It's just Brando. Like if you knew him, to know him is to love him. But he was an acquired taste.
Yeah.
So I flew to Prague to be with him and just to see what that was like. I was like, I'm just going to fuck it. Just get on a plane and just go. Because all of our other friends I'm someone of my word, right? So all of my other friends had been like, yeah, I'll come visit you or so-and-so, I'll come see you. And everyone was like, yeah, Jonathan, I'll come see you. And I was like, I'm going to come. He's like, yeah. And I was like, I'm going to actually come. You'll see, buddy. And I did. And it's a great story about how we went across the street right before he had like a week off and we went across the street. This is how crazy it was. I have some funny stories about him. And he said, we're going to take a week off. Where do you want to go? We can go anywhere. I was like, oh shit, I don't know. So we went to the travel agency and he said, close your eyes and I'm going to spin this map.
Oh my God,
and point. And I was like, oh my God, is this really happening right now? And he did. And we were like, I want to go here. And we ended up going to Paris. So the next day, swear to God, next day, hopped on a plane, flew to Paris. And I have this great memory of, we went and checked into this hotel. And he was like, he said to the concierge, like, I want to go to the nicest restaurant in France. Like, you know, just crazy.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay. So we made this reservation. We get there and we walk in and all John had was like a pair of khakis and like a thermal and like sneakers, you know.
So did he buy you a whole wardrobe?
No. He wasn't like that. Okay. I mean, I had like a cute outfit.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, sir, come with us. And they like took him away from me and they put him in a suit and tie and a shirt. And it was like too small.
Oh my God.
And he had these like, it was like blue with these gold buttons. And he like comes up in the elevator and he's like, here I am. You know, I was like, oh my God, this is
real life? Yeah, is this real life? Wow.
And then there were no prices on the menu for anything. And he's like, we're like, we'll have that bottle of wine right there. And it was like some 1700, pound bottle of white wine. And we didn't even know we were ordering white. I mean, it was just so ridiculous. And they were so rude to us. And we were like, fuck you. Like, well, you know, we can afford to be here. So fuck you.
Yeah.
And it was just, magical. Then we got into a fight And he, you know, weird shit started happening and I felt uncomfortable and I went back to Prague and I didn't want to be there. And I was like, I'm so drawn, but I need to leave at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I got on a plane and I went to see my friends in Israel. I was like, I'm fuck it. I'll just go. My mom was like, you are not going to Israel. I was like, I'm on the runway. So there was always something that drew me in. And I couldn't stay away, but I had to stay away. Yeah. And then I started dating another guy who was from Michigan. And when Jonathan would come to my house, he would wear Michigan shirts.
Yeah, that's
He'd go out on auditions for pilot season with t-shirts that said, fuck pilot season, into network.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't care. Wow. Give a fuck. But I didn't know there was a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things going on that we used to have this motto that we used to say, I hate my life. I hate my life. I want to kill myself. Like that was what we would say.
Damn.
And I've never said that. I've never said I hate my life since then. But I didn't hate my life.
Yeah.
He hated his life. I mean,
you morph into what
of
that.
Of course.
Yeah. It's like a drug in a sense. Like your whole essence, your whole who you are just morphs into this toxic human. Yeah. It's crazy and it's fast.
But he never felt toxic to me.
Yeah, but it doesn't to you. It's like it doesn't, you know? Like I'll say that to the end of the earth is like, you know, when I was in that relationship, I was like, he's not toxic. He's not this. He's not this. But it is to who you are.
Yeah.
To what is you, it is.
It was too intense. I had to just like take a step back. And we just started to become friends again. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when I went to the bar where my boyfriend at the time was working and John was there because he wanted to like see if we were really together. And he was like, fuck you. And like got all mad at me and because I was with somebody else. And it was just weird. And then you know what was fucked up is that after, so I'll tell you through the course of the night. I never really talked about this story. People know that he was a friend of mine and that he passed, but like I didn't, the specifics are kind of intense. So we kind of got back to being friends again. He just came over to my house and I'll never forget, we were playing Scattergories. We used to always have big game nights growing up, playing Scattergories, and he guessed when Clint Eastwood's birthday was. It was like something that we're like, only you would know that, John. Like, of course you would know. Yeah. Like, you would get it right.
Yeah.
You know, like you would guess the year. And I still have that Scattergories box with his writing on that piece of paper and a jacket of his and like other stuff. And here's a good story. I'll tell you a few funny stories about him. Oh my God, there's so many stories. I'm like, how do I get them in? Sorry. I'm like, what do I keep private? What do I talk about? Anyway, so if we'd all would just have gotten together to have a conversation about what was, you know, maybe going on, we would have figured it out. Mm-hmm. But he ended up taking his life by hanging himself outside of his apartment building while my ex, Jeff, was inside and his cousin and I think his cousin's friend were staying with him in his apartment. He had gone to this Barney's Beanery place over here and he was obsessed with, I guess, passing at 27 was like the year that most people had committed suicide or died. You know, it's like 27 is like obsessed.
I know that.
He would talk about it a little bit here and there, but I had heard out after that on the tables at Barney's Beanery, there's like newspaper clippings and kind of stuff about Janis Joplin and like, you know, people that did die people that did die at 27 years mm-hmm. old. So he went there first, then went home, and he literally just said goodnight to Jeff. He was sitting at the table reading like a magazine, and he said goodnight. You know, love you, man. Gave him a hug, and Jeff said, "Is it cool if I hang out?" And he said, "Sure." And he went into his what Jeff thought was his bedroom to go to sleep, and I guess he had already like hung up sheets outside of his apartment and went outside and did it. And Jeff went in a couple, you know, hours or so later, like, you know, I'm not going to crash. Like, I'm going to go. I need to borrow John's car to go home. And he went in to the bedroom to tell him that he was leaving and not going to stay.
Yeah.
And he thought he was in there sleeping because the blanket was all fucked up and there were pillows and it was dark. So he just thought that he was in there, and he opened up the door and saw him hanging there and he thought it was a joke.
Holy shit.
And he had
man.
To cut him down and try to resuscitate him. And, you know, I was working on a movie at the time called Debating Robert Lee. And I got a call from my friend Natalia. saying that Jonathan killed himself. And I was like, this is not true. It's not, there's like, he must be playing a joke. Like, this is not real. This is not really happening. And she's like, I'm on my way to your house. And ironically, she came to my house with my other friend, Adam, who ended up killing himself 2 years ago.
Holy shit.
Came to my house and I drove to John's apartment and was banging on the door trying to get into the building because I wanted to know what happened.
You poor thing.
And the landlord wouldn't let me in. And I was like, I'm his best friend. I need to know what's going on. And he said to me, if you're his best friend, you would know what's going on. And I was like, okay. So I drove to Cedars. He said, why don't you call the RIC unit at Cedars? And I was like, RIC, a RIC unit. What's a RIC unit? Yeah. Respiratory intensive care. Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, he's alive. And I drove to Cedars and I got out and Natalia and Adam were in the car and I went into the emergency room and I was hysterical. It was like, you know, 1 a.m, hysterical, went in and said, I think my friend Jonathan Brandis is here. Please, I don't know what's going on. I heard he killed himself, but someone said he might be in the RIC unit. I went to his house and I can't find his parents' number. No one's answering their phones. Can you tell me anything? And looking through the booth and the woman was like, can you give me a minute? And she like rolled her chair back and talked to this other male nurse. And she said, you know, can you come in here for a minute? And I had managed that. I'm sorry, your friend is gone.
Oh my God.
I guess
Danielle.
He had actually been alive.
Yeah.
And his parents had to end up pulling the plug because he had been gone for too long. But the first thing I did when I heard that this had happened after Natalia called me was I hung up and I called him and I left a screaming message on his answering machine. How could you do this?
Yeah.
Like so out of my body.
Mm-hmm.
What was I doing calling him? I called him for, his parents left his voicemail on for a long time. So I called him. And I found a card recently. And like Soleil Moonfire did a documentary recently called, I forget what it was, 13 something, or I don't remember what it was, but got a lot of accolades. And I just couldn't bring myself to see it because there were videos of him in it. And that voice and like, and I talked to his dad not too long ago and they sound the same. So it's like, it's so heartwarming though.
It's still so in you. God.
It's still so, never get over stuff like that.
Yeah, no way.
You know, but I know after, you know, talking to his parents for many, many years and spending a lot of time with them, that he was going through a lot of mental things, that he was not well. And it had nothing to do with not working in the business. The mm-hmm. industry was not the evil that caused this, which a lot of people speculated.
Yeah.
He was directing. He was doing so well in his life. Schizophrenia did run in his family. His uncle had it, which his mom told me. And John had been at his parents' house for a few days before he did it. And there was a suicide letter. So this was 100%. And the suicide letter did not blame his parents. It was just something that he couldn't go through. And, you know, he called me a few weeks before he did it. And he had been at a party. And he was freaking out because he walked into this house party and somebody was smoking weed in like whatever, it's house party. Someone's like smoking a joint. Yeah. And he had to leave.
Because they were smoking weed?
They were smoking weed and he thought that it was in his system.
Mm.
I was like, dude, when was this? Do you feel high? Like, do you feel like something's wrong? And he said, I just feel fucked up. And I was like, well, go get a drug test. Like, go take a test and see if it's still in your system. Because you didn't smoke it. I'm trying to calm him down, you know? And it was 2 weeks prior that this had happened. And he was still thinking that something wasn't right.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I was 20 something. I was like, dude, what the fuck? You're losing your goddamn mind, bro.
Like, but then you don't know. Like,
you don't know.
Like, you don't know. That's,
you just don't know.
I mean, I always wonder, you know, with like schizophrenia and being bipolar, it's like, they're so, like, people that suffer from this are so, they can hide it so well sometimes.
Yeah.
They can hide it so, so well. My sister is bipolar. My biological mom was bipolar as well. And I would have never have known. But you always wonder if like you just missed like signs or anything. Do you ever feel like that? Like if you like, I mean, I don't know. I'm like something like missed something or, I mean, I couldn't imagine like going through what you went through and like people blame themselves, you know, like if I would have seen this, if I would have seen that, if I would have.
Hey, listen, my friend Adam that killed himself after, like, 2 years ago actually did blame me.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my fuck, God. Wait. We can't talk about that right now. We're going to, the next podcast.
That's a story. You know, I've debated talking about it for a really long time. Right when he did it, I actually posted the letter that he sent me on Facebook. I was like, fuck you. How dare I take no responsibility for this? This is not my doing. And I was asked by his parents to take the letter down because people didn't know that he had died yet. And this is how they were finding out. So I took it down. But I still contemplate sharing it. But it's interesting, like, how the death of somebody, there's two very different. Like, I have this devastating hole in my heart from Jonathan dying and this hatred and anger towards this other person that, you know, that concocted this whole fucking spectacle around his death because of me and sent out a dozen boxes to our friends with shit of his in it and letters that he wrote me about, a 7-page letter about how, at the end of it, he says to me that he hopes that it was worth it for me. And, you know, all he wanted me to do was come to his funeral, and you know what? I didn't.
Holy shit, Danielle.
So it's crazy.
Holy shit.
There's some interesting characters. But again, back to, like, you've got to just, I walked away from that friendship, you know, now it's 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Because it was like too much for me.
Yeah.
So after 20 years of friendship, so you just have to just like—
Let it go.
Just let it go. Yeah. And you have to like really just sit with yourself. And if something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't.
Yeah.
Because you know, if you doubt it, don't do it.
You know, I think that with the like last podcast that we talked about with Johnny is like, I always like, if I took his call, if I'd seen him or something, and maybe he just needed a fucking friend there. And like, he didn't ask, like, you know, he literally did not ask as like a date. It was just like, wanted to catch up and like, he just needed someone.
You can't save him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was meaning when I asked you that. I was just like, is there anything that you like go back in your mind and you're just like, well, if I would have, did I see that? Did I not? You know, I just like.
And we wonder how our emotions are so easily accessed on film.
Next, go see us in these horror movies. Oh, well, thank you. Well, thank you so much for fucking sharing that, man.
Yeah,
holy
crazy.
Shit.
You know, all these things just help you kind of. I posted recently about on Instagram when I was working on this movie, like I have this little scene where I'm holding onto this guy and I'm screaming, I love you, brother. I love you, brother. As he's getting ripped out of my arms. And it was the anniversary of John's death. And like, I couldn't fucking shake it.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's like, you know, you have to kind of tap into that, or it just comes up as an actor. Like it just bubbles up and you're like, wow, I didn't know that was still in there. Mm-hmm. But when you're seeing the movie and you connect with something and you're like, wow, that performance was so real.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, guys.
That's why, because we're pulling from some stems deep within, y'all.
Right.
Deep
next
within.
Next time you see one of our movies, you'll know where it comes from.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, guys. Thanks. This episode was fucking holy shit.
I need a drink.
I do, too. You want to go get a cocktail?
Let's go get a cocktail.
Thank you, guys. See you on the next one.
Bye.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.